Shema Yisrael.
Welcome to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries with Aaron Budgen. Aaron discovered Jesus is his Messiah while preparing to be a rabbi. He now teaches for several organizations and is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries. Strongly distinguishing between the Old and New Covenants, Aaron presents the scriptures from a Judaic and historical frame of reference. Join Aaron now as he reveals the reality foreshadowed and the new life we can now experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us.
I'm presenting a verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of John, and in this program I would like to spend a little bit more time in the Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 10. In verse 10 it says that the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And in the previous messages I spent some time talking about the first part of this verse with reference to the devil wanting to steal someone for himself. But because we were not created by God to function in that kind of a relationship, in order for him to accomplish this, he had to kill us. We had to be spiritually dead, separated from the life of God. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. And what happened was that we were then used in a way that was different from how our God designed us to be. And so the effect of this relationship with the devil is that we ended up being destroyed, or he destroys us. This is a simple way to understand the first part of verse 10, when Jesus effectively spoke of the devil as one who was stealing us. He was therefore killing us in order to accomplish that form of theft, and would then destroy us because that was not how we were designed. And this can be understood and expanded in order to understand the relationships that we have with other people today, who consider themselves to be shepherds in our lives who are not Jesus. And this can also give us a better understanding with regards to why we tend to end up in self-destructive lives, or we end up being destructive in other people's lives. And the root issue, or the root causes that are related to this, have to do with us being used, or us using ourselves, in ways that God never intended. But in this message, what I would really like to do is focus on the other half of this verse, where Jesus spoke about him coming that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And this is very important to see, because he gives an explanation as to why he was there, why he came. He gives an explanation. He says, look, this is why I am here. He was here for many other reasons, but this is a very important reason as to why, what he came to accomplish, what he was doing, and how this affects us right now, because this is something that he wants to be a part of in your life. He wants to be a part of your life so that you might have life abundantly. Now, this needs to be further explained. This needs to be better defined. Because if we do not come up with a good definition or explanation concerning what this means, that he wants us to have life abundantly, well, then we can come up with any definition, any kind of explanation that we like, that we would like to have concerning our lives and how we would like him to increase our life to the extent that we have it more abundantly. We might have some different ideas, though, concerning what that means than what our God intends and that what our God is willing to participate in. And so I think it's really important to think more about what Jesus may have intended to say concerning this. There are three different ways that we can approach this concerning what it means to have an increase in life and to have it to the extent where we have it in such a way that we have no need for any more. There are three different ways that we could approach this. The first way that I think we could approach this is from the perspective of eternal life. And I have found that most people will approach this verse from that point of view. that Jesus is perhaps mainly speaking about the eternal life that he is offering. And I certainly do believe that the eternal life that he is offering to us, that he has given to us in an abundant way, is certainly very significant. Another way that a person could approach this would be from the perspective of our physical life. This is another way that we could look at it, just from our physical issues and physical concerns that we deal with in our flesh on a daily basis. This is another way that some people will approach this verse and to consider that maybe this is what Jesus was referring to. But another way to think about this has to do with our spiritual life that we are experiencing right now. Not just something that we're going to experience in the future, in an eternal sense when we physically die, but what about our spiritual life that we have right now? This is another way to look at this topic, and I think it's important to spend some time looking at it closely. So I'm going to begin with the issues related to eternal life. This tends to be the most popular way to approach this part of verse 10, the idea of eternal life, that Jesus came so that we might have eternal life and have it eternally, have it in such a way that we would never lose it. And I have found that there are a lot of people who will agree concerning this issue of eternal security and eternal life in the kingdom of heaven, and that it is something that you can embrace right now. But in most cases, what people are thinking is that, well, there is a promise that is given by God that if we believe in Jesus and if we believe in the gospel and we are saved, then we have an eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. When we physically die and we go before our God, he will grant us entrance into his eternal kingdom. Unfortunately, because of the way that most people will describe the gospel, because of the way that people do this and the way that people believe this, there is normally an opportunity for a sense of uncertainty. And to me, this just has to do with a poor understanding of the gospel or a poor explanation of the gospel, that when people talk about eternal life and eternal security and what it means to be saved, unfortunately, a lot of these conversations or discussions or explanations just simply seem to be a little incomplete, and it will leave a person with a sense of uncertainty with regards to their salvation. And so a verse like this, that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, it can be difficult to really embrace and rest in because of these other things that people try to promote or try to believe that will leave this sense of uncertainty. Now, in some cases, there are shepherds, there are leaders, religious leaders, and others who want this kind of uncertainty to exist. The main reason why people want this uncertainty to exist is because they usually want there to be some kind of incentive to get your flesh under control. Either there are leaders who want some incentive to have some control over the flesh of other people, or there are people themselves who want this uncertainty in their own lives in order to give themselves some sense of motivation or inspiration to get their flesh under control. But from what I can tell, the gospel is very explicit that we have a relationship with our God such that we have total and absolute security with regards to the eternal life that he has offered to us. To me, the best place to start with this is to go back to the Garden of Eden, just like I referred to the circumstances in the Garden of Eden when the devil related to Adam and Eve and told them, nah, God is not telling you the truth. He's not being very honest with you. He is telling you that you are not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because he knows that if you know what is right and what is wrong, then you can be like him, because you will do what is good, you will not do what is evil, and you can effectively be like God. And he knows this, but he is being dishonest with you. And in being dishonest with you, he is keeping something from you that would be good for you. So they believed the satanic lie, and they ate from the wrong tree, and they experienced the punishment that God declared they would experience, which was a death. In the very day that you eat from that tree, in that day, you will surely die. This was a spiritual death that took place. This is how the devil killed humanity as a whole. This was a spiritual death that took place. Adam and Eve were made spiritually alive just before this happened as part of their creation. They were made spiritually alive because the Holy Spirit was breathed within them and they became a living being. This was the life of God that was breathed within them and they became spiritually alive. So when they ate from the wrong tree, they rejected God. They did not believe God. They believed the devil instead. They effectively rejected God, and through this expression of rejection, God left. He departed. His spirit withdrew from within them. It was in that moment that they experienced the penalty, the punishment that God said they would experience. In that very day, they died. But they died spiritually. That's how they died, with the absence of the life of God, the Holy Spirit. They died by definition. Death is the absence of life, and in this case, it is the absence of the life of God. At this point, they were still physically alive. They were very much alive to the world, and this was the beginning of what we have in humanity right now. But this describes the nature of a problem that needs to be solved. Certainly, we have the sin issue that has entered the world, and this is something that everyone has experienced because of our condition. We each individually sin in our own ways, and we will be held accountable for that. The sin issue needs some kind of resolution. But there's also the spiritual death problem. This has to be resolved also. When Jesus came, he came to address both of these issues. He came to address the sin issue, and this is well understood by lots of people. This is very popular, very easy to understand, that Jesus came to die for the sins of the world so that the sin issue between man and God would come to an end. It would be over. And he accomplished this when he died on the cross for the sins of humanity. But he also came in order to address the spiritual death issue of humanity. And this he did through his resurrection. Through his crucifixion, we have the event of the crucifixion, and that changed our relationship with God so that God no longer holds our sins against us. But then there was the event of the resurrection, and that was when Jesus rose from the dead. And that event also changed our relationship with God. The way that it changed our relationship with God was that he was then able, through his own desire, to send to us and offer to us his spirit that was lost in Adam. And for those who are willing to receive the Holy Spirit that he is offering to us as part of this package, for those of us who are willing to receive the Holy Spirit, we are then made spiritually alive. And then we experience the true benefit of forgiveness, because now there is no sin that has been left unforgiven that will cause the Holy Spirit to leave us like the Holy Spirit left Adam and Eve. That's not going to happen again because the sin issue has been resolved in totality. So the life that we have within us resurrects us from the dead, spiritually speaking, and this life that we have now will never be lost because there is no sin that we can commit that would cause the Holy Spirit to depart from within us ever again. That's the basic definition of the gospel: sin, death, forgiveness, and the restoration of life. Now, with this restoration of life, We don't need any additional life beyond that. We have the presence of our God within us. Sometimes people will describe this as Jesus in your heart. There are many ways that people will convey this fundamental reality when it comes to being saved. But in the context of John chapter 10, verse 10, when he says, I have come that they may have life and may have it more abundantly, what I see being conveyed here is that he is stating that he came that we might be resurrected from the dead spiritually, and that we might be resurrected in a way that we will need nothing else. We will have all that we need to the absolute fullness of how he created us. So we have it to the extent that we will need no more. That is the idea of having life abundantly. And this is a way to understand this from an eternal life point of view, or from a salvation point of view. Another way to think about this has to do with physical life, and this tends to be something that is of interest to a lot of people as well, that people are very interested in having an increase in their physical life. I don't think that this is what Jesus is referring to in this verse, but because this is a topic of interest for a lot of people, I think it's easy for people to try and apply this verse to their physical lives. But our physical lives can be understood in a different way. There are four different ways that I generally describe what it means to be physically alive, just to give you an example. Four fundamental ways. I generally describe these as categories, whereas there are four categories that kind of define our physical life. One category is eating. We have to eat. Another is to work. We have to rest. And we have to do maintenance. When I talk about physical life, these are the four categories I generally divide it up into. In order for us to be alive and to function, we have to eat. And it's very important for us to eat well. We are a complex physiological being that our God has designed. And for us to function well, we have to provide it with what it needs in order to function properly. And so it is definitely in our interest to provide it with good quality food. Foods that don't have a lot of toxicity in them. Foods that have a lot of vitamins and minerals. It's very important for us to consume and to provide our physiology with what it needs in order to function properly. If we don't, then it won't function as well as it needs to and can easily develop disease and dysfunctions and all kinds of breakdowns that could happen quickly or could happen over an extended period of time. So eating is a very important part of our lives, and sometimes people are praying to God, please give me better food. Other times people do not want to pray to God because they enjoy eating food that tastes really good but is really bad for them from a nutritional point of view. And so people have different approaches to this particular area of life when it comes to eating. Another area of life has to do with working. It is very important for us to work. Again, from a physical point of view, this is how we were designed. We were designed to work. And if we do not work, then there are parts of our physiology that will not function in the way that our God created us to function. We were designed to work and to sweat and to accomplish things and to be of service to others, to produce more than what we consume. We were designed by our God to function in this way, and so work is a very important part of our lives. Unfortunately, work does produce pain in general, and we tend to try to avoid pain in our life. And so the way that most people will try to solve this is to try to find ways to live off of the labor of somebody else. But again, when we do that, we're not going to enjoy the benefits that we were designed to enjoy from working. And so what happens is that people will try to state that an abundant life, or they will try to believe that an abundant life has to do with the avoidance of work, and that Jesus came to be a part of our lives and so that he can bless us in ways that we don't have to work as hard or work as much. And this is something that people would like, and they relate to God in this context, which I don't think he was intending to say when he said this in verse 10, that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I don't think that this is what he was thinking at all. But there are a lot of people who want to believe this. And, you know, there may be some times when our God may be a part of our lives in such a way that we have an increase in the quality of food that we get to eat, or we get to enjoy life in a different way such that we don't have to work as hard. I'm not saying that he won't do that. But what I am saying is that I don't think this is what he was intending to say in this verse, but that there are a lot of people who would like him to say this, or they would like this kind of relationship with him in the definition of what it means to have life and have it abundantly. The third category that I like to explain when it comes to living our lives from a physical point of view has to do with rest. And we certainly do need rest. Life is not all about eating and working. There needs to be a time of rest and recovery in preparation for going back to work, but it is an important part of our lives. And the fourth category has to do with maintenance. Maintenance in the sense that there are things that will break down. There are things that we have in our lives that define our quality of life, and these things will break. They may need to be repaired, or they need to be replaced. Our own physical bodies may require some maintenance of some kind, such as exercise, depending upon the kind of work that we do. This is all part of maintenance, where we're not going to be compensated by somebody else for doing these maintenance activities. I don't think that they will fall in the category of rest or eating. They are kind of their own thing, and so I put it in its own category. Those are the four things that I usually refer to when it comes to living our lives physically. Eat, work, rest, and maintenance. And these are things that sustain our life from a physical point of view. I don't think that this is what Jesus was thinking of or what he was intending to say when he mentions at the end of verse 10 that he came that we might have life abundantly. So in this message, I spoke about the eternal life from an abundant point of view. There is also the physical life, which I don't think that he was intending to participate in when he mentions abundant life in this verse, but there are a lot of people who just really want that. The third category has to do with our spiritual life that we can live while we are physically alive right now. I think that this is what Jesus was intending to say and what he was referring to here in John chapter 10, verse 10, that this was really his intent. It wasn't so much the eternal life, although that certainly is true. I just think that here what I read is that he was intending to refer to the spiritual life that he wants us to have while we are physically alive, living our physical life. And this is defined through the relationship that we have with him through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwelling within us, making us spiritually alive. And when we are made spiritually alive, we will then grow. We will be a living person according to the gospel, and we will grow and mature through our relationship that we have with him. And this will, in effect, redefine our lives, but not to replace the physical life that we live. It will add to our physical lives such that our physical life gives a foundation through which we are able to live a spiritual life that is defined through our relationship with our God through the Lord Jesus, that will be a life of abundance of what we genuinely need in the depths of our being, in the depths of our spirit. Whereas others who do not have this relationship with their God, they will have to live in a different way in addition to their physical life, they will have to live in a way that will hopefully provide them with the fulfillment that they have a need for in what they are able to find in the world. And there is an abundance in the world that people can pursue with the belief that they will find fulfillment. And I will explain this more in the next program. Thank you for listening. In this program, I spent some time talking about the Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 10, the second half of verse 10, where Jesus referred to the reason why he came was so that we might have life and have it abundantly. And in this program, I spent a little bit more time talking about the definition of life and the definition of an abundant life that we might be able to have and that he might have been referring to. And so in this program, I spent some time talking about the eternal life that he definitely came to give us. And I also spoke about what it means to be alive physically and what it means to live our physical life while we are in this world, which I don't think that he was intending to refer to when he spoke about the abundant life. But in the next program, I will speak about the third way that this can be considered, and that has to do with our spiritual life while we are physically alive. And I will explain this in the next program.
You have been listening to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries. You can hear all of our programs for free through our radio archive at livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net. Do help us develop new radio programs and continue broadcasting on this and other radio stations. Send your contributions to Living God Ministries, P.O. Box 38353, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80937, or use the donation link on our website, livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net.